radio show. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Friday, March 9th, 2012 here. End of the week. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. And heading into that long, slow, relaxing, we hope, weekend. It's a kind of weird weather all around the place. We're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. A final reminder that daylight savings time starts on Sunday. So when you go to bed Saturday night, wind your clocks an hour forward. You know the old saying, spring ahead and fall behind. And I remember with my lovely wife, Claire, who's been a choir director for most of our life together. She doesn't have choir right now, but when she has a choir, every time we would get into this time of spring, on that Saturday, we'd have to call all the choir members and remind them to set their clocks forward. Or sure enough, they wouldn't be showing up on time for the performance the following Sunday and everything. So we just do that as a courtesy to our little audience here to remember to set the clocks here. And, of course, we don't have daylight savings time here in Hawaii, but it does affect us because, obviously, to do this show, I have to start 1 hour earlier, or the control room gets very unhappy with me, and we do not want to have that happen at all. Now, I want to take a few minutes here to talk about this solar storm that everybody's talking about, and apparently it's a major astronomical event. It has not so far interfered all that much with communications, and GPS is still working, and obviously shortwave is out for much of the world. But last night we had the weirdest thunderstorm come over Oahu, and actually there's another one over our head right now, but I got some really good pictures. And the lightning was kind of like weird. First of all, it was this one large upwelling of cloud, and the lightning was just going on almost continuously inside the clouds. And some of these lightning bolts would come out, and they would fly up, and they just sort of end in the middle of the air. Very weird situation. I saw one lightning bolt, and I know I've got it on a video frame because I was shooting high-def video, and I have to find that frame because the lightning bolt came out of the cloud, and it did this little sort of curlicue. Then it shot up and then just ended in midair. Very, very weird stuff. And I'm starting to think that the strangeness of this lightning storm may be very much tied in with the solar storm. And we know that CERN just confirmed the theory that ionizing particles from space trigger cloud formation. We already know there is a known correlation between incoming cosmic radiation and the prevalence of lightning. And so I think while we don't have enough evidence to make a definitive claim, I think the solar storm definitely is impacting the production of lightning. And it was fun to watch and take video of that thing. And I understand one of our local TV stations may be using the animated sequence that I put up on the website earlier today. And just to annoy all the carbon Nazis and global warming cultists and everything, it's hailing over on the island of Kauai. And I don't mean up on top of the mountains, although Kauai is relatively flat compared to the other Hawaiian islands. I'm talking about down in the residential areas on the streets, hailstones the size of ice cubes. So definitely a lot of weirdness going on there. Now, getting into some more serious stuff. First of all, the phone lines are open. The number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Dan the man is in the control room, twiddling the dials, answering the phones, keeping us out of trouble. And, yes, the Republic Broadcasting fundraiser is still continuing, and that number is 800-724-2719, 800-724-2719. And if you're watching on Justin TV, you just saw the lights dim. So there are blackouts all over this island from the storm activity that's going on here. Now, moving right along. Just heard the thunder coming in. I think a pole got struck someplace. Now, we were talking about the other day where Barack Obama is taking this attitude, supported by Attorney General Holder, that he doesn't need the Congress to give him permission to go to war. That as long as he can get some other governments, yeah, sure, we can go ahead. I'm not sure, but what he has not committed an act of treason. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
If If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And a listener just wrote in and said, maybe you, with regard to the storms overhead and the pictures I took, maybe you found the God particle. And I said, no, actually, in this case, it's more likely the Zeus particle or the Thor particle. It was a very spectacular lightning storm, and I like watching thunderstorms. I really do. I remember one time I was driving across the Texas Panhandle during the height of hurricane season, and rather tornado season, and just these amazing thunderstorms, and I kept stopping the car and getting out and taking pictures. And really, it's just an amazing show to watch, I think. I find it a lot of fun. Anyway, getting back to the situation with Barack Obama, and this idea that wars are now started by international consensus. There's a couple of different ways to look at this. In one case, Obama is almost usurping the authority of the United Nations, because in theory, the United Nations can send their committed peacekeepers from the member nations into a country if there is a consensus agreement among the Security Council that this place needs to be invaded and pacified, and then buried in a mass grave. And Obama is basically sort of arrogating that authority to himself in the United States, that the United States is now going to be the world enforcer of the collective will of whatever nations we can bribe to go along with the agenda. And again, this is completely unconstitutional. The President of the United States of America is not allowed to declare war on his own. It takes a resolution by the United States Congress. Under the War Power Act, the President can deploy troops anywhere he wants for 30 days to deal with a crisis. But after that 30 days, he's got to have the permission of Congress or the troops come home. But this new idea that the president can just arbitrarily declare war anywhere that there seems to be a majority, or not even a majority, just a handful of world leaders saying, yeah, this nation needs to be killed. And what it really amounts to is there are going to be two or three nations that always say, yeah, we need to have a war on these other countries. And bit by bit, these small countries, little tiny countries, Libya, Syria, are invaded, conquered, and made puppet states. We're looking at the Fourth Reich is basically what we're looking at right here. Meanwhile, FBI Director Robert Mueller is sort of waffling over this whole idea that Attorney General Eric Holder's plan for targeted killing of Americans may apply inside the United States as well. Now, this whole idea is being sold that, you know, we're only going to go out and murder Americans who are outside the country that we think are somehow aiding the terrorists. But apparently, by the actual wording of this doctrine, the borders aren't really a factor. And the FBI director is saying, yeah, Obama might actually, under this doctrine, under this principle, be claiming the authority to assassinate Americans inside the United States. And everybody's screaming, Constitution, Constitution. And Eric Holder's new position is, anything that we do to decide to assassinate somebody, that's the due process. So we're still abiding by the Constitution. And they're basically weasel wording. They're changing the meaning of the wording in order to get around its restrictions. And I'll give you a classic example from history. Everybody talks about the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia. And everybody says, oh, well, then it must be subject to laws, and it must be the National Guard, and it must be this, and it must be that. Well, that's because the definition of the word regulated has been changed over the centuries, effectively. Because at the time when the Constitution was being written, regulation was more of a mechanical term than a legal one. And you had all these mechanical devices that, in order to keep them from exploding, they had things like safety valves on them and spin governors. And the spin governor on a steam engine was its regulation. And so in the language of the founding fathers, a well-regulated militia meant one that was equipped with good mechanical arms. Because obviously, if you don't want, you know, you don't want to have a militia that's going to miss who they're shooting at. On a musket, the regulation is the sighting, the iron sights. And over time, regulation has ceased to be a mechanical term because spin governors and that kind of mechanical contrivance has gone out of usage. And regulation has come to mean more of a legal, governing, political term. And they've used that transition to try and reinterpret the Second Amendment to something that suits the gun grabbers. And we're seeing exactly the same thing here. Due process was a self-referential concept in the Constitution, meaning, you know, presentation of a warrant based on probable cause, and the trial by jury of their peers and the rest of it. And that's what the due process meant. It was referring back to the other parts of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that said, this is how these things are to be done. Well, now Eric Holder is simply redefining due process away from the contents of the Constitution to say, whatever secret deliberations we have is now the due process. If you take it to its ridiculous extreme, what Eric Holder is saying is, if in the basement of the White House they have a dartboard with Americans' names on there and they're throwing darts on it, and that's how they're picking the assassination targets, that is now the due process, and therefore they're still within the letter of the law of the Constitution. And, of course, that's utterly absurd. It is still extrajudicial execution by the president and his assassins, and it is not constitutional and it is not legal. Because we, the people, when this country was set up, said no man shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And the law does not reside in the chief executive. The law resides in the Congress and in the Supreme Court. The reason the president is called the chief executive is his job is to carry out the orders of the Congress after they've been approved by the judiciary. The president is not supposed to be initiating and creating law. He's supposed to go over to Congress and say, guys, I'd like a law to do this, and Congress will say yes or no, including declarations of wars. Very clearly, Obama is trying to move away from the last vestiges of constitutional republic. He wants to be the big boss. Sometimes I wonder if maybe on the inside of his closet in his bedroom he's got a picture of Idi Amin Dada and sort of aspires to be the new version of that. Anyway, let's see, moving right along. War clouds on the Potomac. Actually, the reality is, forget about Iran, Iraq, Syria, Libya, the rest of it. The U.S. government is declaring war on the American people. That's what all this terror tactics of assassinating American citizens without a court trial. It's terrorism. They're trying to terrorize you into staying silent as they continue about their little process of Fourth Reich conquest of the world. That's what's going on. It's not working. Americans are not afraid. They seem to be getting angrier and angrier. Not fast enough in my view, but it is happening. For those of us who really do love our country, at least as we were taught it was supposed to be constituted, we're insulted and we're angry and we're furious. We're losing our temper here. We're offended by this present federal government. Now, back on the issue of the current primary joke, which it really is, as more and more Americans become tuned into the fact that Ron Paul's official vote results are completely at odds with the pre-election polls, the exit polls, the straw polls, the media polls, the online polls, and especially with the relative attendance at Ron Paul's events. I mean, the vote fraud's never been this obvious, and now the corporate media is coming up to try and explain it all the way. They're already screaming, Putin stole the election, it's crooked, it's rigged, it's fraudulent. But here in the United States of America, you see what happened in Maine, where the people running the caucus kept telling the GOP leadership, no, that's not the right numbers. The GOP leadership, these are the numbers we're going to go with. Over in Iowa, missing precincts worth of votes, at least 150 known individual counting errors. They still can't sort that out. They even had to change the winner once on that. And what does the media say? Oh, well, these mistakes will happen. It's really okay. We're the greatest nation on earth, and you can trust our election system. We wouldn't lie to you. So as photographs have been circulating on the internet showing these token crowds showing up at Romney, Santorum, and Gingrich events. Gingrich had to cancel one because nobody showed up except the press. We have that photo of Romney. They rented an entire stadium for his event, and there was nobody in the bleachers. They had some chairs set up on the ground, and that was it. Hardly anybody there. And yet Ron Paul is continually playing to these standing room only people outside on the street looking through the door just to hear or see the man. And people are saying, what the heck is going on? Obviously, Ron Paul's support on the ground, on the grassroots, is much greater than for any other candidate. So what's going on? So the new media spin is that all these young people, they love to show up at the rallies and they love to cheer and they love to shout and everything. But you know, when it comes right down to the election, they just can't be bothered to get to the polling places. And that's why Ron Paul isn't getting the votes you think he should be getting from the attendance at the rally. The kids all want to go to the party and they want to have fun and stand up there and look like they're, you know, part of the future of America. But when it comes to actually going to the polling places, they're just not bothering because there's too much good stuff on TV. That's the latest spin. And if you buy that one, I have a whole batch of Saddam's nuclear weapons to sell you. Now, here's an interesting little story, and this one is probably going to make you angry. Actually, it should make you angry. If it doesn't make you angry, there's something seriously wrong with you. You have probably been hearing, ever since they passed TARP, back in 2008, against the overwhelming opposition of the American people, 90% of Americans kept telling Congress, do not use our money to save Wall Street from their own criminality and stupidity. And Congress went ahead and did it anyway, because members of Congress' own investment portfolios were invested with those companies on Wall Street that were tied in with this whole mortgage-backed security fraud. And they passed TARP. And they kept telling, don't worry, it's all going to work out in the end. Well, they lied to you again. When we come back from these commercials, I will explain exactly how this particular case.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. So we're talking about back in 2008, where the U.S. Congress passed TARP, the first of these many, many, many bailout programs. And the American people were furious because they had been calling up the Congress 9-1 opposed to TARP and saying, look, Wall Street did this to themselves. The money junkies did this to themselves. Okay, they're just going to have to eat the losses because that's what capitalism is supposed to be. You make money, you keep it. You lose money, you have to live with that. And Congress went ahead and voted TARP through anyway because members of Congress' own personal fortunes were tied up in these same Wall Street firms. So the members of Congress were protecting their own personal wealth at the expense of the American people. And they turned around and they said, don't worry about it. TARP will be paid back. You'll get your money back. It'll all balance out in the end. And since then, every once in a while, we get the usual ballyhoo from the federal government saying, see, this bank paid back their money to TARP. You guys were just saying no just for no real reason. You were completely wrong about this program. Well, according to the General Accounting Office, the GAO, half of these banks that were bailed out by TARP are repaying their TARP loans with money from other federal programs. In other words, the federal government doesn't want to admit that TARP really was just taking your money and giving it to the bankers, and it's not ever going to come back. So they started taking more of your money and through these other federal programs started giving it to the bankers so the bankers could take it and make a very publicly visible payment back on TARP. The federal government is giving these banks the money to pay back TARP so that they can say, see, they're paying it back. And so another one of these double shuffle, moving the debt around to try and keep it concealed, which is what got Greece into trouble. And they're playing the same game here in the United States. It's just creative bookkeeping. They gave a whole bunch of your money to Wall Street to save their own personal fortunes. And now to make it look like the money's coming back, they're taking more of your money and giving it to the Wall Street banks in order to make it look good. That's all it is. It's just to save face. So they don't have to admit that they were lying when they said that TARP was going to be paid back. It's like a lot of what they do with Israel, where the United States, let's see, there was another one of these many bizarre laws, the Cranston Amendment. The Cranston Amendment to the Foreign Appropriations Act makes it U.S. law that the U.S. government will always give to Israel enough money to repay their debts. However much Israel is in debt, the U.S. will, you know, give them the money. It's just they're giving them the money to pay back the official debts so that they can say, see, it's all being paid back. But it really is, it's a lot of nonsense. All righty, let's see, moving right along here. Now, Goldman Sachs apparently has this sweetheart deal with the U.S. government that when push comes to shove, when things start to really tighten up, Goldman Sachs and the other Wall Street banks that have loaned money to the federal government are going to be paid before the American people. In other words, the arrangement already is that when the economy starts coming apart, the federal government has already agreed that Social Security and Medicare payments will be stopped in order to maintain payments to the private central bankers and the Wall Street investment firms. Now, there's a real serious problem with that. And I'm not talking just about the fact that the people who are on Social Security and Medicare need that money. The problem is it's their money to begin with. These are not gifts from the government, even though they are trying to tell you that that's the case. It's your money. You've been paying it in with payroll deductions. The government was supposed to manage that money for you, and when you need it, pay it back to you. And now what we are being told is that in order to save itself from financial collapse, this is austerity. This is exactly what they're doing in Europe. They're going to take all that money and they're going to give it to the bankers. In other words, and think about this very seriously, the United States government is already in default because they've already borrowed a lot of money from the Social Security Trust Fund, starting with the Clinton administration. There's a bunch of IOUs inside the Social Security Trust Fund. And so the American people are one of the biggest creditors for the federal government. Now the federal government can't meet the payments to all of its creditors. They're looking around for the creditor they can default on without any consequences. And in their view, that's you, the American people. If they default on the banks, it'll affect their international credit rating. If they default to other countries, it will have impact on international commerce. But they can default on you. What's the worst that's going to happen? You'll stand outside the street with a sign. Actually, no, under the new law, they're going to make you move away so that you can't protest where some public official can see you. And that's all that's going to happen. The U.S. federal government is already in default to you, the American people. That's what's going on here. So, anyway, we seem to be having some problems with our computer and from the power dips and whatnot, so we're probably going to have to do a fast reboot during this next break, which is coming up here, but I can't scroll or anything. So we're having our technical issues again. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Do you want to know our real political and cultural history instead of the corporate media or the government school version devised to provide heroes and extract obedience? Then you will want to read The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. Learn how Lincoln's War, the majority of which occurred in the South, squandered the lives of at least 622,000 citizens, centralized government power, and introduced Marxism and militarism. Republic Broadcasting's own Deanna Spingola authored The Ruling Elite. On her daily program and in her book, Deanna is not afraid to delve into controversial issues. Order it now at Amazon.com or on Deanna's website, Spingola.com. The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. History is Prologue, our blueprint for today. Discover our history to better understand contemporary events.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
When all this twist is steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're dealing with some technical issues here. We've had a couple of major lightning strikes out there, and the power's all over the place. And we do have surge suppressors and non-interruptible power supplies on these computers. This is the machine that blew its Blu-ray drive yesterday, and I spent all yesterday afternoon taking the old one back to get it replaced. They didn't even have the Blu-ray version. I had to settle for a non-Blu-ray version and get that in. And I thought it was all working, and just right there in the middle of the show, it just froze up. And I know I got a bunch of emails this morning trying to plant viruses on me, but I didn't think any of them got through. Right now it's having to do a disk check, so I'm just going to sort of improvise here while we wait for this to come up and get back to my little talking points here. An interesting little story has come up. You remember we were talking the other day about how this engineer, Corbett, had figured out there's a very easy way for large metal objects or explosives to be gotten through the TSA scanners. And he demonstrated it by actually walking through the scanners at a couple of different airports with this large metal cigarette case hidden on his person, large enough to contain a sizable amount of high-velocity explosive. And YouTube put restrictions on his video where you had to sign in and prove you were over 18 to see it, even though it's certainly not pornographic. Now we're getting a report that TSA has started to go around to the corporate media and apply pressure In other words, threaten them not to cover this story. And they're saying basically, well, you're assisting the terrorists if you put out this information how to get past the scanner. No, that's not the issue. We already know the terrorists have figured this out for themselves. What's going on here is the TSA trying to cover up another embarrassing goof. Because TSA is not about security, and it's not about safety, and it's not about terrorism. It's about just another way to rip billions of dollars out of the pockets of the American people and put it into the pockets of another money junkie. In this case, Michael Chertoff and his investors in the Chertoff Group. TSA has been a curse on the life of America for going on 10 years. They've destroyed our tourism. They've dropped and wrecked a laptop of mine. They reduced my wife to tears. And in all that time and in all that confiscated materials, I've been stealing out of luggage and taking things that don't belong to them, and then they sell them off on eBay and everything. And in all that time, they've never actually caught a single terrorist. The only terror incident that has happened on their watch was the underwear bomber, and it's come out basically that the underwear bomber was a staged incident in order to justify more scanners and more x-rays and more intrusion into our private lives. It wasn't even a real terror attack. The underwear bomber was walked onto the plane by some U.S. government official, walked around security, never had to show a passport to get on a U.S.-bound flight. He was there to basically show whatever. And now they say he's been convicted and sentenced to solitary confinement for the rest of his life, which means he's probably in the witness protection program and he's managing the Wendy's up in Billings, Montana by now. And so now we have this. I'm trying to get my talking points back up here. The machine's coming back up to life. We'll get Justin TV signed in here in just a minute to get that back up there. All righty. I want to talk a little bit about Fukushima because we're seeing an increase in radiation here in Hawaii. We're seeing an increase on the mainland. We're now hearing this interesting story come out on the corporate media. Do you remember back when reactor number 3 exploded at Fukushima? This is the one huge smoke cloud went up in the air, and the official story was, well, it was just a steam explosion. And we said, basically, that doesn't make any sense. Steam explosions are white because you're basically, or hydrogen explosions are white because they're producing steam. And this smoke was kind of this sickly green yellow, which happens to match the color of the quadrivalent form of plutonium oxide. Now they're basically saying, let me see, I know this is really unprofessional stuff here, but at least I'm not doing dead airtime like Rush Limbaugh did the other day. Okay, so here's the story. Los Angeles Times is reporting that a supercritical fission event occurred at the Fukushima reactor using the plutonium fuel, the MOX fuel. And they're saying the LA Times is reporting the explosion was so massive, investigators found parts of the fuel rods a mile away. So this is a confirmation of what we were talking about all the way back just a little, almost a year ago, when the reactor blew and the official story from the government of Japan, from TEPCO, from the U.S. media, which is partly owned by General Electric, and they were saying, oh, it's just a hydrogen explosion, nothing to worry about. We're saying, no, it doesn't look like it's hydrogen to us. And now the L.A. Times is basically admitting that, yeah, it was a major fusion event here. So now I seem to have my systems back. Justin TV's back up and running. All I'm missing is my little clock to tell me when we're coming up on a break. I haven't made a wall clock version yet. Oh, I got lots of time to talk about. Our phone lines are still open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And let me just skip on down here. Goldman Sachs, we talked about that whole situation. Now, getting back to the economy, which is what we were talking about when my machine went away, the court overseeing the bankruptcy of MF Global has decided that those poor executives who destroyed the company and defrauded all their investors and ruined the lives of all their employees, they're still going to get bonuses for 2011. They're still getting bonuses having run that operation totally into the ground and cost the taxpayers and their investors billions of dollars, and they still get bonuses? What the heck is going on here? Why are we incentivizing failure? Why have we taken money, billions of dollars, trillions of dollars, and the American people and poured it all over Wall Street to pay for their failures or criminality? And let's be honest about it. That's what we're talking about. Our government is incentivizing failure. Forget about actually trying to be a success. Just set up a bank or something, run it into the ground, ask for a bailout and retire. That's the new American business model. And one of the biggest examples of this kind of incentivization of failure are all these green programs from the Obama administration. They've leveraged billions of taxpayer dollars into these high-risk green energy startups, windmills, solar cells. And it's one of the biggest financial scams in history. These green firms, they burn through all the taxpayer dollars. The executives get huge executive bonuses. Then they collapse and go bankrupt. All on the backs of the American taxpayer, and the executives take their bonuses and they retire. It's a political payoff is what it is. Remember, the last official act of any government is to loot the nation, and it is well and truly underway right now. Just absolutely amazing here. Now, getting over here into the situation in the Middle East, in Syria, there's a video that went up on whatreallyhappened.com. And it basically shows that CIA and Mossad assassination squads are at work inside of Syria. And what they're doing is basically a scam. They're going in and they're killing women and children. So the media can go in and say, oh, look, women and children are being killed. We must invade to stop the slaughter. So basically, CIA and Mossad are assassinating people in Syria to blame on Assad's government to demonize them. Same stuff we saw in Libya. Same stuff we saw in Iraq, same stuff we saw in Afghanistan, same stuff we're probably going to see sooner or later in Iran. Now, Leon Panetta, who I thought worked for the United States of America, I think his paycheck is filled with U.S. taxpayer dollars, is out there still championing Israel's war against Iran. And he's now taken the position that we shouldn't let Israel attack Iran because they might not do a very good job of it. Ignoring the fact they have nuclear missiles. Panetta is now saying the United States really does need to do the attack on Iran because we can be much more effective than Israel to get the job done. With nobody really saying what the whole purpose of the job is, which is to protect Israel's nuclear monopoly in the Middle East, to gain access to Iran's oil fields, so we can mismanage them and lose those contracts to foreign governments like happened in Iraq. Now, there's a very alarming story that's making the rounds, and it's been around before, but I want to talk about it a little bit. It has to do with this so-called the great weapon, the super bomb. Sometimes they call it the mother of all bombs, the Moab. And the numbers keep changing, but the current incarnation of this story is that they have developed a 13,600-kilogram bunker buster bomb. This is basically 30,000 pounds or 15 tons. And it's designed to strike on countries like Iran to knock out underground nuclear facilities. I guess it doesn't work against underground non-nuclear facilities. And would be used to basically assist Israeli force. Now, this may be a cover story. When you're talking about a conventional bomb, the weight of the bomb is usually the weight of the explosive it contains. And there's a little more weight for the casing that's around it, which in our case, since it's supposed to be a ground penetrator, is a big, heavy, thick steel casing. But let's just say 30,000-pound bomb will actually weigh that. Now, in the current United States bomber fleet, there are no external racks for the bombers to carry a 30,000-pound bomb. Now, in the internal payloads, assuming that the internal bomb bays are modified to hold a bomb of this size, I believe the current numbers are a B-1 Lancer can carry 75,000 pounds of internal payload, the B-52, 70,000, the B-2, 60,000, which means they can just barely carry two of these bombs after modifications. On some of the military websites I've been researching this on, because the payload numbers keep moving around, some of it's classified, commentators are already looking at the math on some of these super bombs and saying they don't really fit the bombers. The bombers can't carry them. They can't get off the ground with them. They're not really sure what's going on with this thing. And I saw one article where they just said, oh, well, we're going to have to revise upward the internal bomb capacity of this one plane from 40 to 60,000 pounds. Well, you don't just do that. The planes are designed for a maximum load. If you put that much of an increase in weight in the bomb bay, you're going to snap the wing box. It's just not, it's not like going out and putting new tires on the car and say it's got better performance. It just doesn't work that way. Anybody who knows anything about aviation knows that just going from a 40,000-pound maximum payload to 60,000 without a major structural frame upgrade just isn't going to work. So what I think is going on here, and this is only a theory, and I don't have any proof for it yet, but I think they're waving around all these super bombs at us, the MOABs and the rest of us, as a cover story. Remember, the United States is the only nation that has ever actually used nuclear weapons of mass destruction on the civilians of another country. And I think they're getting ready to do it again. We know that the United States embarked on a new program to manufacture tactical nuclear weapons under the Bush administration. I don't think they're spending the money to make those things just to stack them up and have them look pretty during the May Day parades. I think the United States, which ended World War II with nuclear weapons, plans on starting World War III with nuclear weapons. And they're waving around these mythical super bombs and MOABs to basically have as a cover story. So when these really big explosions happen, they're going to say, oh, no, that's not nuclear. That's a conventional bomb. It's just a really big conventional bomb, but it's a conventional bomb. And then if any radiation is detected, they'll say, aha, that proves that Iran had a nuclear facility down there. I think that's what's going on. Because the media is spending way too much time on the size and weight and mass of these bunker buster bombs. And to me, it's just starting to feel like they're trying to pre-sell the non-nuclear nature of the upcoming attack here. All righty, let's see. We're coming up here to the end of the segment. And again, our phone lines are open. 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. A little bit of a follow-up on that story where FBI documents have surfaced identifying the founder of AIPAC as a member of the Communist Party of the United States. And I think this is a story that needs to be forwarded, retwittered, put on your social media, sent around to all your friends. Because we know AIPAC is not working in the interest of the United States of America. In fact, AIPAC's influence over our government and our elected officials has been quite to the detriment of the American people and the American nation. And I remember when I was a kid going to school in that little elementary school in Loudoun, New Hampshire, we were constantly being indoctrinated about the dangers of communist subversion. And we were so busy looking at the Soviet Union, we didn't realize the subversion was coming from a different direction. And now we're finding out that AIPAC, which has subverted the entire U.S. government to Israel's purposes, it was founded by a member of the Communist Party of the United States of America. So I think we need to start coming to the understanding that our government has been taken over. And if we're going to get it back, it's going to be a little bit of a fight to do so. So grab that story, save the file, save the information, and start sending it around. For once, the FBI actually did something useful. Okay, we already talked about the Fukushima supercritical event here. Oh, yeah, one more thing on Fukushima. South Korea is now complaining that exported fishery products from Japan sent to South Korea are increasingly showing signs of contamination with radioactive materials. Either the Japanese government isn't testing or just doesn't care anymore, or the economic realities are that so much of the fish is now contaminated with radiation, they can't afford to simply throw it away. And we know just from experience within our own country with the money junkies, if it's bad for you, but there's still profit to be made selling it to you, they will sell it to you. And there's no reason to think that kind of behavior is confined to the United States of America. In fact, we've got a story coming up later in the show about that kind of money junkie thinking up there in Canada, starting to affect the quality of their lives there. Let's see. Coke and Pepsi are getting ready to drop the level of cancer chemical in their caramel coloring. Apparently that caramel coloring has a known carcinogen in there. And it took a massive citizen action to get them to remove it or lower it. It's still in there, but they're lowering the level. I don't know. For me, if I was in charge of a company like that and there was something in my product that was potentially dangerous to my customers, I'd want it out of there like right now. Maybe that's why I'm not a millionaire soft drink entrepreneur or something like that. It just doesn't make any sense. And I understand after what they did with the new Coke and new Pepsi experiments that ruined their sales, they don't want to mess with the formulas or be seen to mess with the formulas. But if there's something in your product that's harmful to people, don't wait for a public outcry or a court action to take it out. That's real money junkie thinking. All right, when we come back from this break, we're talking with Jim in South Carolina. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like elderberry power, oregacillin, olive leaf capsules, grapefruit seed extract, and Resper 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Don't forget vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, herbalhealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Do you ever find yourself in this situation? You're in your local health store looking for a remedy, and there are 20 different brands claiming to do the same thing. Well, it's time to stop worrying that it's a hopeless search. Fact is, every day we are exposed to an environmental medium that has become full of toxins. The only thing you can do to defend yourself is to find the solution. At TerraVim, we focus on carrying only the highest quality natural supplements. We understand it's a difficult task to filter through the multitude of options to find your divine source of immortality. Your golden apple. That's why we have made available to you products that are at the top of their game. Natural vitamins and supplements your body understands how to utilize. Visit our website at terravim.com. That's TerraVim.com to find what you've always been looking for, the solution. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
WhatReallyHappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show today. We're going to go right to the phones. We've got a bunch of people calling in right now. We're going to start with Jim in South Carolina. Aloha, Jim. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael. You were talking about Moab a bit earlier. Moab is
yes.
An air fuel bomb, and it cannot be used against an underground target unless it's a cave that you're trying to suck the air out of. And it's generally carried by a C-130 or other large cargo-type aircraft. They can't put that thing in a bomber because it's so massive.
Well, I understand about the fuel-air explosives, but the MOAB that I saw was this very large winged device. And I know they're throwing the designations around, but the real point is they're talking about these really super heavy bunker buster bombs, and they are suspiciously near the limit of our conventional bombers. And I just wanted to raise the possibility. We know the United States government started manufacturing a whole new generation of tactical nuclear weapons during the Bush administration. And I don't think they invested that money in those weapons just to put them on a shelf. And I think we just need to be prepared for the idea that the U.S. government is planning on actually using nuclear weapons. Because if you think about the difficulty of hitting one of these underground targets, it takes a lot of energy. In fact, a lot of people think the reason the Soviets developed what they called the Tsar Bomb, which was the world's largest nuclear weapon, was in order to try and get at the Strategic Air Command's underground command post at Cheyenne Mountain, which is now no longer in operation, and they're preferring mobility and anonymity to fortification. But even a 35,000-pound conventional explosive is not going to reach down very far through the ground.
No, I've seen tests of bombs that penetrate concrete bunkers, hardened shelters, hardened installations down to about 300 feet. And it's literally a rocket that drives the bomb down that far. And what they've got on the end of that rocket, God only knows.
Well, no, I understand that. And I know all of this stuff goes back to like the Durandal and the so-called runway cratering bombs as well. But the again, the idea is not what particular munitions are being used. The idea is that we need to be prepared for a dirty trick by the United States government, which, again, for all the talk about Iran's nuclear threat and Iraq's nuclear threat and Syria's nuclear threat, one and only one nation has ever actually used nuclear weapons on the civilians of another country, and that's the United States. And they seem quite ready and willing to do it again, and they may be getting ready to basically conceal from the American people the use of nuclear weapons by waving around all these stories about these conventional super bombs.
That's correct. I want to leave you with one thought. During
yes.
the Vietnam War, Lyndon Johnson was approached about using a nuclear weapon on North Vietnam. And
yes.
giving the facts and figures of all the devastation. He says, you left out one thing, the amount of time it would take the American people come down here with rope and hanging from a light post.
Yes. I think the problem with that, though, is I'm not sure the American people are as worried about nuclear weapons as they were in that post-Hiroshima, post-Nagasaki period. I think for most Americans alive today, nuclear weapons and their destruction is kind of an abstraction. But we may get a first-hand experience from that after all. Thanks a lot for the call, Jim. We got to take a break for station identification. We'll be back with Jacqueline, Mike, and Amanda in hour number two.